On today's show, we're going to discuss the strategy for building reading comprehension, and in particular, reading comprehension across several content areas in the middle grades. When talking about reading comprehension, vocabulary is often a central area of debate among teachers. Some prefer direct and unstructured vocabulary lessons in the classic style, a la pre-selected word lists, dictionary lookups, sentence creation, followed by repetition via flashcard, and then assessment with a weekly test. However, there are many teachers, myself included, who think that vocabulary should be a much more organic learning process and with less rigid structure. Then there's a middle ground, and this strategy falls in that middle ground. Scott Greenwood's 2010 article, Content Area Readers, Helping Middle-Level Students Become Word-Aware and Enjoy It, sets forth a very nice groundwork for how vocabulary should be taught in a literacy-oriented content area course. In other words, a course in which a content area teacher promotes literacy in their class, even if they're not reading teachers per se. That groundwork includes the following things, which can be found in Greenwood's article on page 224. Students should be involved in the word selection process. They should be allowed to go find words on their own. They should also be able to find words from the reading. And they can also be supported by the teacher. The teacher can give them some suggestions, but they should be able to decide which words they actually learn. Also, using the dictionary is not sufficient for learning words, as it often takes one difficult word and turns it into a list of difficult words, and that ultimately confuses the reader without the right amount of support and interaction. Students need to be exposed to new words a number of times in a number of different settings before they can really retain those words in any lasting way. Also, high rotation words and specialty words should be discussed by grade level teacher groups so that they can be used across the content area and used in other settings so that they understand that those words are important. Students need time in class to practice context clues. Many teachers think that the context clue thing is basically innate by the time they've reached the middle grades, but they still need that practice in the class. They still need that modeling. They still need support in context clues. Students should be encouraged to make connections between what they already know and what's new to them. And finally, teachers need to strike a balance between vocabulary immersion and direct instruction. There's one really great strategy that I've learned to use on a regular basis that covers all the bases of that groundwork. Sarah Holbrook and Michael Salinger's book High Definition, Unforgettable Vocabulary Building Strategies Across Genre and Subject is full of fantastic ideas and strategies. But one that's worked really well for me is a collaboration cheat sheet, which I renamed in my class the Is and Is Not. If you've not downloaded the information packet from my Google site, go ahead and do that now. All you have to do is Google Mr. Washman's English class, and then go to the class documents section and click on the strategy demonstration information packet. You'll notice that you can follow along with the demonstration and practice the method yourself as well. The packet includes two samples of middle-level reading that'll offer challenging content-specific vocabulary, an example of what the is and is not journal entry could look like, and an example of a few completed entries. The is and is not worksheet works great because it offers the students a chance to pick their own words and master them in a supported whole class setting, then in a supported small group and interactive setting, and then independently with confidence. And then finally, it gives them an opportunity to share and receive feedback on their newly acquired words. In addition, students will be forced in a very non-intrusive way to choose at least some important content area words to learn. Also, students have a great opportunity to become experts by teaching what they've learned and offering support to other students. Students also get the practice of writing in the genre being studied, and the practice of transfiguration, which I like to call changing one genre to another, for instance, an informational text into a poem. I will call that transfiguration throughout so you'll understand exactly what I'm talking about. At the end of this strategy, students get to take what they've learned and perform their word-centered writings for the class. This strategy is also great because it acts as a double-edged sword. The amount of time spent on direct instruction can also be used to teach the content reading itself, and the writing exercises created can be used for pre-writing or as rough drafts for real assignments. On the is and is not worksheet, you'll notice that there are three sections of paper blocked off. This can be reproduced on notebook paper without the need for printing sheets every time. As in any strategy, you want to model before allowing students to do it on their own. It's really important to realize the steps of the process before you try doing this yourself. And so basically all I've done so far is let you know what this thing is. Now that you have it in front of you, I'm going to walk you through the steps of how it would actually be done in a classroom. Step 1. Choose good texts that are challenging but related to the content being studied. Make sure that the text that you use will have some important content area words, but also some useful or even just interesting general vocabulary words. You want kids to have a good selection to choose from. I would, at the beginning, also provide the students a list of words that you think that they should know that is related to the content that you're studying at that time. But make sure that they know it's just a list of suggestions and not that they're being forced to use it. Step 2. Read the entire text aloud. This is where you're really starting your model. Be sure to explicitly tell students that good readers always read through the text once without trying to annotate too much or without stopping to concentrate on specific difficult words. Instead, when difficult words come up in the first reading, we just highlight them or underline them or make a note somewhere that we want to come back and take a closer look at that. But we don't want to overdo our annotation on the first read-through. This is one way that the students can recognize which words they want to use on a worksheet. Be sure to think aloud while you're reading through. For instance, if you're reading through a sentence and you come across a word that you may perceive as being difficult for the students, you could say something like, "Well, this word seems to be very difficult. I think I'm going to make a little note and come back to it at a later time." Step 3. Discuss the specific qualities of the genre once you've finished your read aloud and the purpose of the text. Discuss the conventions, the formality. Is it informal? Is it very formal? Is it somewhere in the middle? What kind of words are normally used in this genre? Why do they use those kinds of words? What is the structure or what are some of the patterns that are used in this genre that you've just finished reading? At this point, the students have already read in the genre, but you want to reiterate and make sure that they remember the specific conventions of that genre. So when they start practicing the written portion of the strategy, they'll remember that and be able to follow those rules as they write. Step 4. Reread the selection. Obviously, as good readers, you will usually read academic texts multiple times. And this is something that's really important for students to understand, that an interaction with the text is really what sets apart a good reader from a bad reader. So reread the selection, and this time stop at the difficult words and think aloud about the context it's being used in. Think about the kind of word it is. Is it a noun? Is it a verb? Is it an adverb, an adjective? Write the word onto the is and is not sheet at the top. As you can see, there's a little spot for it right there. And wonder aloud what it could be. Students' hands will raise like there's no tomorrow. Take their suggestions. They're going to want to tell you what they think it means. Write them down in the space in the middle of the two sections where it says is, space there in between. Write it in the middle somewhere. Ask some of them how they came up with their suggestions. Ask for textual evidence and thought processes. Don't let them just give you a random idea, because sometimes that'll get us off track. Then add some of your own ideas. Tell everyone how you came up with them. Write them down into the worksheet. Step 5. Use multiple research resources to discover if your guesses about the word were correct and to get more ideas about what the word means. Use a dictionary in the traditional sense. I'm sure you've got some in your classroom. But also, use Google. We've all got projectors in our classroom. Well, most of us do. Or an interactive whiteboard or something. So if you've got the internet in your class, do it. Just pull up Google. Shoot the word in there. Use Wikipedia. Use dictionary.com. Even textbook glossaries. Use any possible resource that you've got at your disposal to show students that there are millions of places to turn for advice on vocabulary. And also it kind of opens their minds to the whole interacting with the text and being independent and research-minded when it comes to reading academic texts. Step 6. Model the writing process. Be organic. Consider this a pre-writing exercise. Just write, don't think kind of thing. We've all taken some sort of workshop at this point, I'm sure. So just think about how writing workshop would work. The writing exercise is to embed the new word in a piece of writing that is in the same genre as the one we've chosen to read aloud. Later on, as a secondary practice, the students will transfigure the genre into a new one while still using the chosen word and talking about what that word means. That'll come later, though, so don't worry too much about that. Step 7. Fishbowl a turn and talk between you and one of your more focused students so that everyone can see how verbal feedback is given and how a turn and talk is really supposed to be done. In this turn and talk, we're being very specific about that pre-writing exercise. Read your writing aloud to your partner and discuss its merits and values as well as how the word has gained new meaning for you. Also discuss possible edits and revisions that can be made to the writing. A lot of times it's good to warn that student ahead of time that you're going to use them in a fishbowl. That way they can get mentally prepared. And sometimes it's even good to let them know what you'll be talking about so they can maybe form some questions ahead of time. I know it's a little bit, it's kind of like cheating, but it's not, because it's something, it's really important that the students understand what a turn and talk will be like. And it's really important to make sure that that model goes well. So, step 8. Make quick adjustments to the writing based on your turn and talk. By the way, I want to mention at this point, please do all of these models using a document camera or a mimeopad so that all the students can watch you jotting down the notes onto the is and is not worksheet and also doing your writing exercise, making changes to your writing exercise, and then going forth and reading from that paper. So please do make sure that all the students can see as you're doing this. After you've made those adjustments to your writing, then you're going to perform your writing out loud for the whole class. Go all out on this. Use an accent. Make ridiculous hand gestures to clarify the meaning of words. Exaggerate punctuation. This is a performance, literally. You're an actor on the stage. And your writing is your play. If it's a poem, then snap it out or groove a little. You know, make it memorable. If you wrote a how-to, really use some facial expressions or some really fun hand pointing. And, you know, just go all out there, put a lot of energy, show the kids that this really is a performance. And when they're going to be doing it, it's going to be the same kind of thing. Also show the students that there are many different ways to perform even the most dry type of writing. Some people don't really like informational text. Let's make it fun. This is what this is all about. Step 9. Have the students write a quick assessment of the process they saw. Just have them jot it down on a piece of paper. Should just take a minute or two. Ask them to write about whether or not they've learned the word you chose. Do they understand it now? Does it make sense to them? Ask if the writing was effective in portraying the meaning and if it stayed in genre and can be used in a more polished writing later on. Maybe they think that the writing you did was just for fun and that you couldn't use it later. It's important for them to think about that because they're going to be making these on their own. Step 10. Ask the students if the exercise could lead to any new learning later on. Ask what kinds of extra assignments they could do in relation to the one they just did, that you just did. This will get them thinking about independent projects they can do for extra credit later in the year, instilling a more personal pursuit of vocabulary and a more in-depth use of the is and is not worksheet. That's where the transfiguration will come in. They will take what they've created during these is and is not worksheets, and they'll be able to save them in a journal. They can come back to them, possibly implant them in a longer research assignment later, or in a personal essay, or in a creative story even. They could possibly use some of these things for their English classes as well.
For instance, last year I had students read Flowers for Algernon as a beginning lesson on cognitive function and intelligence. After we read and discussed and gained a basic grasp of some vocabulary relating to the subject through the use of is and is not worksheets, we read an academic article about cognitive functioning and intelligence from the Journal of Modern Medicine. The level of reading in that article was far higher than that of the reading in Flowers for Algernon, but with the right amount of support, students breezed through it and came out with a very good grasp of brain functions and how researchers measure intelligence in humans and mice. They then took the is and is not worksheets that they had made from both lessons and put them together to write a personal narrative about their perceived level of intelligence in society and how they would be viewed by society if their IQ were the most important part of their identity. So that's one of the ways that you could use the is and is not worksheet after the lesson's been completed. After all of this, you can also provide the students with a list of content area-specific vocabulary that you want them to learn, and then have them complete sheets on those words in addition to the ones they chose from their reading assignments. So that way, at the beginning, you introduced them to your list, and now you're showing them how they can use them. I usually ask them to do 4 or 5 from the list, and then 5 of their own choosing. The ones on the list should be done in the classroom in a collaborative small group setting so that there's lots of support and the kids don't really feel too pressured about them. The other 5 should be done independently. Repeat all the steps again at the collaborative small group level, replacing yourself with the students. Allow the students to become the ones that are doing the writing and the modeling. Then repeat them all again at the independent level. Students get a great sense of community, a great sense of the fact that real readers interact with the text for extended periods of time and do more than just read them. They'll also learn words besides the ones for which they completed sheets. If you use this strategy, I'm sure that your students will gain a better understanding of your content area. Thank you. Have a great day.